It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, Jeff Probst.
And I'm Edwin Janes, Michael's assistant.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I'm trying to write something funny here, okay? What am I going to do with a removed uterus?
It could be kind of funny.
Come up with a joke that I can use, okay? Mm-hmm. Help me out here.
Okay. Hey, Meredith, where's your uterus?
Apologies.
No, it's Michael who should apologize, or Dwight. Every week we get together to talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll have our conference room as usual, and we'll finish up with a little trivia. Let's dive into today's topic, the Alliance.
Did you guys want to welcome me back from the Bahamas, or do you want to
Yeah, I guess so. Welcome back from the Bahamas, buddy.
Do you want to just go?
Welcome back, jerky jerk face.
We already did that before the show.
We got drops back.
Yeah.
We got drops back.
Everyone's at humor, swing and a miss. You feel that energy?
It's good to be back.
I do.
It's good
to
have you back.
Yeah,
it's good to have you back.
Yeah, welcome back, buddy. Yeah, we did miss
you. Cream run, bro.
As the Superfan episodes from season one hit Peacock this week, we wanted to go back to season one, pick an episode from season one to talk about today, and then maybe review what the Superfan version feels like and what the differences are. And then maybe we'll talk about what Superfan episodes kind of are in general and how we feel about them, or our thoughts on them. But let's start with The Alliance.
The Alliance, season one, episode four, written by Mike Schur, directed by Brian Gordon, aired April 12th, 2005. This is only the fourth episode, but it is marked by many firsts. This episode is the first time we see someone say, "Absolutely, I do," to Dwight proposing something to them. The first time we see the newsletter, which we've talked about, the office newsletter. First time we hear about the Dundies. The first time we see that Dunder Mifflin is on Slough Avenue, a reference to the BBC show. So, but I think like that absolutely I do is the biggest of all the firsts.
Absolutely it is. And Sean, rewatching The Alliance, I thought this is Sean's comfortable, safe place in the office. This episode is the color beige in 20 yes. minutes of TV. Mm-hmm. It is so just bleak, and no one is happy at the end of it. This is where you shine, buddy.
That's so funny. I was gonna save that is my final thoughts on this episode.
But, inverted triangle. But inverted triangle.
But we can start there, though.
Big, then we get small. You know.
We can start there, though. This episode is very bleak, and of course it's season one. It's there's just boxes stacked up everywhere, and the office is just so sad. They film this is one too that they were filming on location. They didn't like build a set. They used to film in an actual office building. And then later they built the set replicating that office on stage. And so, you know, they shoot into the ceiling a lot. and you can see just like how like the ceiling is just falling apart in this old office building. It's so sad and decrepit, and I love it.
You really love the ceiling, both the physical ceiling and then the emotional ceiling.
Yeah.
That, you know, everyone is trapped.
Everyone feels a little trapped in this episode. Mm-hmm. They do go to the warehouse briefly in this, but the part of it is like, it's Michael sort of trapped in his own madness trying to write this joke for Meredith. He's like shut himself in his office. The prank kind of moves around, but everyone is a little cornered when they talk to him. The party planning committee isn't clicking. No one's happy here.
People are afraid of Michael still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, that's very clear in this episode.
That's a huge dynamic that I notice, is that Michael is talking basically down to his employees, not only in the sense that they don't want to really push back on him or anything like that. In the versus later in the show, it's so conversational, mm-hmm. especially when they're all in the bullpen and they're talking. But everyone is just kind of going to absorb what Michael says, keep their thoughts to themselves, and not react. And so you get a lot of Steve Carell improvs to himself.
Yes.
Lines within lines. Like, you know, I'm always good for some serious buckage.
And then everyone else's job is just not to break.
Pretty much. Yeah. Hey, really quick before we continue, and I'm going to leave this in. I think when you unplug and plug your mic back in, Edwin, you need to go do the original sound again.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Now, you got it now?
Yeah.
Oh, doesn't he sound so much better?
Oh. It's gorgeous.
Just beautiful.
I didn't think that was possible, but okay, thanks.
Anyway, but
damage has been done.
Yeah, when you read through the transcript of this episode on Office Quotes, it's a lot of big chunks of Michael, which means it's always really funny when they just sort of they get him thinking into the camera. And there's several moments throughout this. And like Michael's story in this is it's another episode where he sort of ruins everything at the end. And he's procrastinating from a large issue by focusing on a very tiny issue that he writing this joke for Meredith that just doesn't end well. And he doesn't even he causes a lot of people anguish along the way.
Yes.
And he's got this whole weird thing with Pam going of like he talks down to Pam a lot more. It's I don't know.
Oh, he harasses Pam so much in this episode. I mean, in season one in general, but he's like calling he's calling her his assistant a lot, which, you know, that's not her job. That's Dwight's job.
Dwight is a secret assistant.
That's
he is
assistant to the regional manager.
I mean, this is some blueprint, getting to see Dwight in covert operations, which is the best Dwight, as we've talked about. And this really lays the groundwork for his zeal for that kind of work.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll formally say too that the storylines in this episode, there's only like two of them really. Dwight and Jim form an alliance, and Michael throws a birthday party for Meredith to distract from downsizing. But yeah, anyways, I mean, the whole Dwight and Jim alliance, I guess, I mean, it's not that I never heard the part where Jim is like, I don't know, it's something from Survivor, I guess. But like, we've been now watching Survivor so much lately. And like, alliances are such a big part of that. I don't know. It never clicked that this whole episode is inspired by Survivor.
I think, too, part of the reason this happens, and you talked about Michael hiding in his office, is that the episode begins with Dwight surprising Michael as Michael comes out of the bathroom, essentially asking him about downsizing, will he be safe, trying to get a read on the whole thing, and Michael doesn't give him a straight answer. Kind of gives him a pessimistic maybe. Should I be concerned? Maybe. And then Michael is basically in his office the whole time working on that card. So Dwight is turning to Jim as like sort of the next person to try to survive mm-hmm. this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good call, Sean, too, with they never really explicitly say Survivor or bring it up. We'll get to the superfan part where they
Jim says when he tells Pam that he's formed an alliance with Dwight, she's like, "What is that?" And he's like, "I don't know, something from Survivor. I know that."
Right. Oh yeah. Well, this.
But that's all it is. But it's such a throwaway. Like I never thought about it. And then you know, we'll talk about the superfan thing later. But there's like a deleted scene of him talking about like, if I can just get Dwight to say the word immunity.
Yeah.
Then
that's true. I guess I mean, Dwight is not talk like,
yeah,
it feels like in another time or in a later episode, there'd be a quick talking head about Dwight talking about how much he likes Survivor, or just Dwight going like Survivor or something like that. There's none of this, but
Call of Duty.
this is like peak Survivor taking over the country, all anyone's totally talking about. And yes, Sean, you put it lightly that we've been watching it a lot. It's like, no, we've been watching so much Survivor over the last year. It's crazy. So that's how they were approaching this, or at least how Dwight's approaching it. It's like, someone's going to be voted out of this office, and it's not going to be me, and I'm already... Like, if Dwight was on Survivor, he'd be the most paranoid dude ever. Like, I would love to see it. I would love to see the whole cast on Survivor.
One thing that moment when they talk about Survivor is the cut where Dwight says, but here's the thing, let's keep this totally a secret, don't tell anyone. Cut to an alliance? What's that? What Pam says. Yeah. I love the way they use the cuts to tell jokes in this episode. They do it with the water cooler as well.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is a problem for me because I bring my own water to work. And then it just cuts to the water cooler next to Dwight's desk.
Why did you do this?
I love that he says, I didn't do it. It's for maintenance. And the office is so small. Of course he did it. They probably watched him do it.
Yeah.
I know.
That's right.
Everyone saw it. Also, I thought in later seasons, like when he does that, when he's like, I bring my own water, he just sort of holds up a regular plastic water bottle. I feel like later seasons they would have had a very shroot, some sort of Gordon jug.
Oh yeah, very bespoke. Yeah,
something homespun.
Right. Yes.
That they missed. I was like, later seasons they would have done that joke.
This was gifted to me by my great uncle Honk.
Yes. Never been washed.
Some kind of jug. Yeah.
Something like that. What else about the original episode? We talked about the. Let's talk more about the actual like alliance thing, because there is a little bit, this is early on where like it feels, Jim can feel pretty mean-spirited. That comes across a lot more in the supercut part, but like there is a bit of this where it's like there's something about Jim pranking Dwight, running right over to Pam, giggling about it behind Dwight's back, and then going back for more, and they're sort of tag teaming until they literally have him taped in a box in the warehouse. You know, it's like it's some old school bullying going on.
I think the show, it's funny because again, this in the supercut episode you see a different example of this, but when Jim kind of gives his side or his reasoning that Dwight is always annoying him daily, I feel like the example the show gives is the gun show thing with Dwight flexing for Jim.
Yes.
I think they could have picked maybe a more annoying example for Jim, and that's part of it. And then I think too that something that's going on really early in the show is that even amidst the threat of downsizing, you got Jim, who does not take this job seriously, does not see it as permanent, and Dwight, who is trying so hard to hold on to this little world and his place within it. That's why he's trying to form this alliance. Everyone else is just kind of shrugging it off and going back to work, and Dwight is fighting to stay.
That's the thing. It's like the stakes are, I'm not gonna say the stakes aren't like super high, I guess, but like the fact that Jim's treating Dwight like that, and the risk is someone's gonna lose their job. I don't know. Feels a little. If it was like a, you know, they're having a competition in the office for something, I could see that. But they're really preying on his fears. But you know,
I mean, we have the full view of the entire show and everything. I wish there were a couple more examples of Dwight shredding things while Jim is on the phone, or something that's a little more obstructive, I guess.
Yes. There's a difference between Dwight is annoying and Dwight is making my life harder. Those are two separate things. And there's enough examples of him making Jim's life harder that they could. And like, by the way, this early on season one, Dwight, like he is palpably a lot more annoying than he is later. There's just things you're just like, I can't stand if someone was just sitting next to me saying that. So they do a good job of making, like, Dwight's very annoying in season one.
Dwight talks down to Jim a lot.
Yes, he talks down to everybody.
And
except Mike.
Yeah, he does talk down to everybody. But I think it, like, it just hits a little harder if Jim's just kind of like if Jim takes this job and he's like, well, I'm just gonna mind my own business and make money, and then you've got this guy sitting next to you just talking down to you all the time, and he's, you know, Dwight, like I can see how this is his way of getting back at him for talking down to him so much. And also that just makes it even funnier too that Dwight decides to form an alliance with Jim. Mm-hmm.
I am curious to know what the alliance was supposed to accomplish.
I don't know.
How would the two of them prevent the branch from closing?
I know. This isn't a voting situation like Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? I think he just wants to do some recon and do some espionage work with Jim. Well, I don't know.
Doesn't Jim tells him at one point, like, Kevin and Toby are talking, and Kevin's in accounting, and Toby's in HR, so what does that tell you? And Dwight's like, formed an alliance.
That's
like what do you think is happening?
Dwight's belief, his enthusiasm to just kind of embrace whatever Jim puts in for him is pretty funny. And then Jim is talking to him about sandwiches. Their bread is very
good. That's right. The just conspiracies of all kind are important.
We like Cugino's for the tasty bread.
In the midst of all this, there is another storyline a little bit, which is Oscar and Michael with the donating money to the charity.
Oh, that's right. That could that's be right. Kind of a I left that out. No. You're absolutely.
They all come together at the end, but that one is when Michael makes the per mile error, and he's signed up for quite a bit of money. His own miniature Scott's Tots situation sort of boils over here.
Did we talk about how this is the first appearance of the party planning committee?
Oh, no. I didn't include that in my firsts.
Sean, go back. Nice. Let's start again.
Yeah, let's run it back.
All right.
Hello and
welcome.
We probably talked about that in our party planning episode back 2 years ago. But
Sure.
But yeah, no, that is notable. That's quite notable.
Mm. Yeah, and then Michael has fabricated this... this event to kind of raise morale.
Mint chocolate chip.
It ends up totally, and totally sucks it out of the, actually ends up pulling all of the morale out of the room and making it all about himself, which is very early Michael.
And even that first scene when they're talking about streamers and the party plan committee, and Phyllis is like, we could do streamers. Oh, that's a bad idea. And Angela's like, no, I like that. Like, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, this hasn't gotten to be a toxic situation quite yet. Although she does follow right up with, I think green is whorish. Well, Phyllis is wearing green. So
The characters haven't found their voices yet, or they haven't been written that way yet. Mm-hmm. And I think the rest of the ensemble is supposed to kind of be this sort of generic group of coworkers.
Right.
So Oscar being the one who asked about the charity run, it could have easily been Stanley or something like that. Or the fact that it's actually Ryan's birthday and they don't celebrate it and Ryan says, no, don't mention it. Mm-hmm. That's a lot funnier with Ryan a couple seasons from now when Michael is completely obsessed with Ryan.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
True. I did think about that too, like, It would have been a more ensemble thing, the charity thing. And it's like Gabe wouldn't have been a good person to accidentally donate too much and walk it back. Totally. They could have used some.
Gabe would be a funny person to ask Michael to contribute for this corporate charity initiative.
That's true. That's true.
And Michael accidentally signs up the entire office for, 4 days a month of cleaning up a river or something like that. And
Stanley's upset. Yeah.
We have to do this once a week.
I know how to use chopsticks so well.
Just when I
like a warm pumpkin.
Oh, get out, skeleton man.
We did want to talk about how Peacock has released the super fan version of this episode. But anything else to say about the original episode, or do you want to?
I mean, we can jump into the super fan episode.
Let's go there. Let's go. Things. So if you've been on Peacock, they've obviously had the super fan series out for season 4 or 3. Now I can't remember. Edwin will know, but he walked away for a second.
Story of this podcast.
Oh no,
Edwin will know.
What happened? I just turned on the light. That's all I did.
Superfans season is season 4 or season 3?
Season 3 and season 1 now.
Season 3. And then they just put out season 1. We wanted to watch the Superfan version of this episode. There's obviously a lot of extra scenes. This episode runs at like 34 minutes now or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was reading on Wikipedia, which, you know, Wikipedia is the best thing ever. Anyone in the world can write anything they want on any subject, so you know you're getting the best possible information. The first cut of the episode ran 37 minutes long, and the producers were tasked with cutting the footage down to 22 minutes. Executive producer Greg Daniels considered making the episode a two-parter, one focusing on the Alliance and another focusing on Meredith's birthday party. But the appearance of party hats in the Alliance-only scenes caused him to nix this idea. Because the episode had to be cut down due to time, several scenes were drastically cut. The filming crew actually shot about 15 to 20 minutes of Steve Carell coming up with terrible card ideas, which was drastically reduced.
I really enjoyed watching the Superfan episode. I think a lot of it was, talking about editing, was just extended takes or extended scenes.
Yes.
And you lose a little bit of jokes, but obviously you're trying to get to the certain runtime. And in particular, this was a very jarring Superfan episode because it's a season one episode with a cold open.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah. Dwight is installing a security software on his computer and Jim is guessing his passwords correctly.
Yeah. And I think as we talk about this episode, it's not like a spoiler sort of thing because the meat of the episode is exactly the same. The plot beats are the same. It's just that we have a slightly different viewing experience by getting these extended takes, by getting this little bit extra.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things, too, that are cut that you start to look at later in the show and you can see that the ideas they're coming up with the writer's room, they never get rid of those ideas. They're like, this was interesting. Yeah. How could we do this later? I've been listening to some of Brian Baumgartner's deep dive stuff, and he says like Ken Kwapis was on, and they talk about that in the writer room of just like they just start with simple ideas and sticky notes that they just start putting up. That's just like, what if this happens? And I feel like even in this one, at the very end, they've got like when Dwight's doing his final talking head. And Dwight says, I've learned a valuable lesson. And then Jim just opens the door and kind of leans in and is like, and what is that? And it pans over to him. And it's a weird, like, breaking the fourth wall thing that you see a lot later in the show. But the fact that they were doing that this early on, and it's like, they almost reused that same shot when he asked Pam out. And you got to think they start to play with that idea more when the show progresses.
They also did, when Michael is reading his alternate lines for the birthday card, trying to get a laugh. At the end, he says, he looks to a non, like a different camera person, not directly in the camera, and he says, can you just pick the best one and you can cut?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the awareness of the documentary crew is different.
And Ryan does that later in the show, too. It's like, I don't know, just use the best one.
Yeah. So, I mean,
have
I would
to be
say,
crazy, but it helps.
I would say overall, like, these Superfan episodes, like, the show is even more bleak. Like, it's, I think, in this particular episode, another scene is Michael just harassing Pam more about smiling while answering the phone. And there's not really, like, a big joke at the end of it. I mean, it's kind of funny. He's like, oh, I bet if a unicorn walked in here, you'd be like, hello, do you have an appointment? Or something like that. But there's also
whole bored
like
supermodel thing. And he does that thing where he's like, puts in front of his face and he's like, tell me if I'm smiling.
He also does, this little improv that Steve Carell does, he goes, bored supermodel thing, smoke, smoke, smoke. While he's like pretending to be a smoking model is really funny. And it does come back as a joke in the end because when Michael is doing that, signing up for the donation, Pam is telling him to smile.
Yes.
Okay.
So it does circle back. Michael does get a little come up.
Also, Jim tells Dwight to pretend he's smoking when he's in the parking lot waiting.
God, that was so funny. Yeah.
I've always thought in movies, TV, whatever, when an actor is smoking, you can usually immediately tell if they smoke in real life or not, or they have smoked, based on how they hold. It's just very subtle things. And I really couldn't tell with Rainn Wilson when in that scene. I was looking very closely to, like, did Rainn used to smoke or does he? And I really couldn't tell. It was right on the fence.
I bet he did. I bet he used to.
Probably.
He was a young actor in L.A. And
it wasn't just that he pretended, 2000s. But that he pretended to throw it away and put it out. That was really funny.
I want to go to something you said, though, Sean, that I really agree with, which is, like, it did feel, when you expand out the jokes by a couple minutes here and there and you add, like, 12 minutes to the whole episode, it got a lot darker. It got a lot more difficult to spend time with Michael as it went through. That's what I felt rewatching this, especially all the scenes when he's trying to rewrite the jokes and you're just going crazy with him. And it makes the ending, like, when the jokes aren't as short and punchy, the ending, when he sort of ruins it all, it is torture to watch. And it is dark.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I love it too. And, but like, there's like another scene where he's just walking through the party and just saying, like, kind of, you know, jerky things to everyone. And they're just like, okay. And then he'll just, like, keep walking and he's just, like, feeling himself so much. And it's like, it's really funny, but it's like it starts to feel more like the BBC show. Like it doesn't quite have that.
I would agree with that for sure, that it feels like the BBC Office, because my experience watching the BBC Office for the first time was just this such a long stretch between jokes. But when there was a joke, it hit a lot harder because you weren't expecting it. It kind of lulled you to sleep a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say that the reason that this one feels bleaker as you expand it is because that's just the tone of the episode. I mean, it wouldn't be the same for an episode in the later. Like, if you took a season 7 episode and expanded it, I don't think you would come away and be like, wow, that was a lot less optimistic.
Well, that actually makes me think now, like, it's like maybe seeing this episode for the first time, it was so bleak. You know what I mean? But now I've come to love it. It's such a comfort to me. And I, you know, love all the jokes, and I love seeing, like, the old Office. But maybe, like, seeing these fresh and new scenes and seeing it, this fresh and new cut, like, it hits like it used to.
I will say there was...
What?
just talking like an old drug addict. It hits.
Just
these super fan episodes are just giving me that high I used to get. Been chasing that for years, brother.
I mean, the laugh, there was one of the alternate takes that Michael did for the birthday card made me, like, I was not expecting it. It made me laugh at the show. Hey, what's the difference between Meredith and Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson's surgery was unnecessary.
What? It's like, you're talking about my hysterectomy. She gets it.
Yeah.
Good.
And then they all go to comfort her.
The joke is they had
her.
A necessary
yeah, surgery. He just does a roast of Meredith, pretty much, that no one asked for and is not funny.
And he gets upset when they all try to comfort her because she takes it really hard.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Meredith, that's Liz the other Taylor thing. Called. She wants but her age back made, and her divorce is back.
Oh, sorry.
That sorry. It made me laugh in a way that, like, you know, when it was like watching The Office for the first time, like, because you're not expecting that joke.
Some surprises.
Sean, what were you going to say? I mean, that's the difference. I mean, as we talk about super fan episodes,
did I start
in general?
It's been a long time.
Thank
you. It's been a long time. We need to bring it back.
For the fans.
Texas justice.
But you know, over the years, I feel like I've watched all the deleted scenes, or I know for sure that I've watched all the deleted scenes on the DVDs at least once, but it's easier to remember them if they're cut together with the actual episode. It makes more of an impact, and it's a different viewing experience to watch deleted scenes separate from the episode itself.
Yeah.
So, and it leads to a little bit of, was this in the original cut or the one that aired, or is this in like a new cut or a version that was on Netflix? Or did they change something when they went to Peacock, etc.? it's kind of fun. It leads to a little bit of the Mandela effect, like if you remember something. But yeah. I really like the Superfan episodes. I'm excited. What do you guys think? How do you like them?
They're great. I mean, I feel like the first one I saw was on our retreat a few months back, not long after the transfer over, and we had that experience together watching it and being like looking at each other like, wait, this isn't in the episode, mm-hmm. and that sort of delight of watching it for the first time came back. So yeah, I feel you, Sean. I also got that old high, yeah. that old rush.
Yeah. Used to get mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like every time I'm seeing like a new scene, I'm just like, did I just forget about this part? And it's like, no, this is a whole new scene. That's crazy. I haven't seen this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so much. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I can often tell. I feel like I can often understand why a scene was cut. You know what I mean? I think sure. it does make the show better that yeah. some of these things weren't in the original. But for the super fans, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously there was a lot of frustration when The Office moved from Netflix to Peacock. And a lot of people still, I imagine a lot of our listeners still didn't,
yeah.
haven't signed up for it. But I do feel like with NBC controlling its own IP again, it does give us more opportunities for these types of episodes. Or, for example, they released that the cold open of The Matrix that wasn't available before.
Right.
And if it leads to more Office content generally being created, then I'm all for it.
Yep. Agreed.
For sure.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Any last thoughts about the Alliance and the super fan cut?
No, I mean, it's such a early classic vintage episode of The Office. The show is still kind of finding itself a little bit.
Yeah.
It feels so different and from where the show goes eventually. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to tap back into that.
This is the first one of the season ones I've seen of the super fans. So I'm pretty excited to revisit the whole season with these.
Same.
I can't wait to see basketball. If there's more footage.
Yeah, I watched that one. It's great.
Is there more hoops footage?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Hoops.
Dude, hoops. I know you like those hoops, Sean.
I do like those hoops, but unfortunately
he likes shooting them. He likes jumping through them. He likes hula-ing them.
Before we go to conference room, I meant to say this at the top of the show. Really, just to plug this, because we just put out our new Patreon episode yesterday.
Two days coming out.
And we're gonna also have today that this episode comes out. We're gonna have also a bonus episode, our archived episode from a long time ago.
Yeah,
underrated mm-hmm. episode we never released.
I'm interested to hear what we said, but I also. When you go back to listen to those early ones,
there's stuff I said that doing this show has caused me to change my mind.
It's true.
Our dirty laundry is going up, so it's a great time to get in on Patreon. I meant to say that up top. Sorry.
If you are a Scott's Tot or you are going to become a Scott's Tot to listen to this, just know that we've grown a lot since.
Yes. We have two bonus episodes and our monthly episodes on there.
And I don't remember what was said, so
it'll be a surprise for us.
But for whatever reason, at the end of it, we were like, "That wasn't that." We don't have to put that one.
I'm sure my hot takes are as tepid as ever.
Yeah.
Right. It's all pretty good.
You know, I kind of like that
hot take.
I like it. You know, season 9's got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Season 9, pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to be doing a bingo card this whole.
episodes.
Yes. Oh, well.
Next, we got a lot of great responses.
Definitely,
so
definitely.
I want to say that we texted about it. And when I read it, I texted Sean Edwin. I was like, oh, brutal bingo card here. And Edwin's like, yeah, I feel like Michael after the roast. And I pictured Edwin going for a walk with a full loaf of bread. Like,
really, really went after my intelligence there.
Anyway,
but love it. Still love it. All right. Conference room, 5 minutes.
All right. You know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes.
Okay. So this for conference room this week, this comes from Casey on Instagram, who said, I thought y'all would appreciate this story. I was listening to you guys while getting ready for a Zoom interview. They got on early, which I wasn't expecting and didn't notice right away. So they got to hear the phrase baldy, lazy eye, sugar boobs. From your Dwight Christmas trivia episode before I realized I was able to pause it. Thanks for the work you guys do on the pod. So,
that's good.
Hilarious. First of all, thank you, Casey, for listening and for sending us that that little anecdote. Hilarious. It's funny because you think that if that were to happen, someone might recognize The Office in the background. But what are the chances they'd recognize us quoting The Office in the background?
No.
But that got me thinking just to you guys. Now that we've all been, you know, a lot of us have been working at home, working remotely for the last year plus, have you guys had any funny Zoom moments like that or Teams moments or?
Oh, Teams moments. I've had a few.
Yeah.
They just hit a little differently than Zoom moments.
Yeah, that's true. I can start. Yeah. I was on one not that long ago where it was like a big organizational meeting where you're just kind of watching information is being presented to you. The kind of meeting where, you know, 90% or the large majority of people there are on mute with their cameras off because they're being presented to. But somebody had their microphone on, and in the middle of the presentation, you just heard a toilet flush.
Mm.
And the people presenting, one of the people presenting said, I have my camera on, so you know it's not me. And it led to a funny thing where it's like, that's true. That's the way you would prove it, I guess, is by having your camera on. It was just a really,
that's
really
awesome.
Silly moment. Do you guys have any?
It's just something about a toilet flush sound. It's never not funny.
I mean, I've had so many Zoom meetings for work, and I feel like a lot of people have figured it out. But like, very recently, I was doing like this COVID. The network was gonna do like a big COVID like intro every week or something like that. So if you were starting on any TV show, you had to dial into this Zoom meeting, and the guy like didn't know how to moderate the Zoom call. So he would just be like, "I have to ask everyone, you know, please." Please mute your microphones. And if at any time anyone's microphone isn't muted, I will wait for you to mute your microphone. And it was just like, I mean, nothing was accomplished. Like, I mean, it was just 45 minutes of waiting for people to mute their microphones. And it was just like, how come they can't host the meeting and mute everybody? Also, though, in sort of related to Casey's story, the other day I was obviously watching Peacock on my computer, watching The Office on my computer, prepping for the show, and then paused the show and closed my laptop and went to work. And when I opened it in the morning at work, it just started the episode, and like, you know, you can't, like, as it's warming up, you can't really get everything kind of going a little slow. And all of a sudden it's like, Michael's like talking about try boobs, B-O-O-B-Z.
It was big boobs with a Z.
Yeah.
Just remember, people, this kept us safe.
Gosh. I haven't had a ton. I did have one good one. I produced for a couple other podcasts, and for one of those shows, we were recording with a contributor, someone who I really like and respect in the space, and so I was very like excited and / nervous to be on the Zoom with this person. It was totally fine, but when he first sign on. So here in the background of my Zoom, I have one of the Michael sequin pillows that all of you listening have surely seen on Instagram. You know,
I have a Dwight one.
Yeah, it's a pillow with the big prison Mike face, the same face that he's making in our logo. But when the sun shines into my office space in the right ways at the right time, it casts shadows on that pillow in a weird way. So picture the full prison Mike, like upturned, you know,
smudge, man to man,
you know, full on moment. And it was casting a shadow right over his like upper lip. And when this contributor came onto the Zoom and he was like, hey, this is our producer, Alex. I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And he kind of leaned into the camera and goes, is that a Hitler pillow behind you? And I'm just crestfallen.
Oh, my God.
Because it looked, I mean, like, I think with the lighting, it looked like a full, like, Hitler mid-fired up speech picture.
Oh, my God.
It looked like the mustache. And it was like, no, no, it's a prison mic.
And then they,
thing.
And then they were like, good day, sir.
Promptly signed off. But that was
we
my
shall not be contributing.
My first interaction with this person, and it was like not what I was hoping for. But it ended up being fine. But we had a good long laugh. I know that if I meet him in the future, I can always he'll remember me if I mention that.
That's
remember
great.
Guy with a Hitler pillow.
This is only sort of related, but I got to tell a story that my buddy Wilson at work was telling me today. Shout out to Wilson, but he was saying that one of he and his buddies' non-musical earworms is Joe Bennett saying "you gay bastard," and so they'll often sure. say that to each other. they'll often greet each other that way, and his friend was just like biking to his house one night and like just saw a guy outside near his house and who he was just 100% certain was Wilson, and biked right up and just said, "you gay bastard," and it was not him. Person was just like, "what?
Huh? Oh no."
It went
I have another one, kind of random, but a lot of times when you're in meetings and at the end, you know, somebody will say, does anyone else have any more questions? I always think in my head, I don't ever say it because I know that the one time I do, my mic will be on mm-hmm. on accident. But I always think of Meredith just saying, talk about vacation days. All right. If anyone doesn't have any questions, we can wrap it up. Talk about vacation days.
I had a last one for me. I had a Teams call yesterday. This didn't happen to me. But I was watching closely with someone who's on a work project with me. I could tell by her face and the way I'm pretty sure she was on this call, and like her partner walked into the room, felt like he was naked, just doing something to try and get her to laugh, because like the way she was reacting and trying to get him out of the room was just like, oh, I've done that to Anne before when she's on calls. I know exactly what's happening right now. And I never followed up. I want to figure out if that was the case. But she was trying very hard to stay focused in and not laugh. And I can only assume that's what it was.
Draw his penis.
Whenever I have a story or joke that doesn't you're land, all, I just go right to the drop board.
You're all over it today, man. You're killing it with the drops.
Thanks. It's been a while. It's good to be back.
So glad to have the drops back. You too.
Like Clooney.
All right. You guys want to do a little trivia?
What you should do for the next episode, Alex, is you should clip
Dad
out.
Dad is here for you, my widow angels.
You should clip out Meredith saying talk about vacation days, and then when Sean is trying to actually move us along, does anyone else have anything they want to say about this episode? You can just talk about vacation days.
Oh man, I should do that. I got
it's so good.
I got a new laptop and I need to move my drop program over. Mm-hmm. And so it's a chance to reorganize, and I might make like a heckle board where it's just
nice,
because I have like a ton of Stanley, a ton of Meredith. Yeah. So maybe I don't do it by character, but by situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
I love that.
Okay.
Oh man, you have to.
You're gonna hate it. Oh, yeah. The women in my improv class absolutely hate him.
Peach tea. You're going to hate it.
The meatball parm is their worst sandwich. Yeah.
That's lemon, Phyllis.
What else are we doing here?
I guess I think it's time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, this week's trivia comes from Peter. Hi, guys. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Peter says, I run a brewery in North Carolina, and we have hosted not one but two office-themed trivia nights. I've been meaning to send you all these questions for a while now. Finally was listening in front of the computer and remembered to send these. Enjoy. Oh. Obviously, these are full. He gave us the full trivia nights, so this is a gift that keeps on giving. I'm just going to give you guys one portion.
Okay, good. For this week's
episode. And we'll return to Peter's trivia in the future.
Our brewery family expands.
I know. love all my brewers out there. All right, here we go. You guys, this is a speed round. This is Jim Halpert trivia.
Oh boy.
Where did Jim go to college?
University of Scranton. Scranton University.
UNC is
at 6'6" for North Carolina. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What are the names of Jim's brothers?
Tom and Pete.
That's correct. What is the name of the company that Jim started?
Athlete.
Stumpany.
What is Jim's first costume in a Halloween episode?
Three-hole punch, Jim.
Correct.
That's correct. What is Jim's favorite flavor of soda?
Grape.
That's correct. And finally, what is Jim's job title at Stanford?
Assistant regional manager.
That's correct. Nice. Ding, ding, ding. All right. There we go. Nice work, guys.
Quarantine sniper.
Sniper?
Sniper?
Saboteur! Saboteur!
We did that whole Andy at Sea. We focused a lot later. And I really miss that Andy. He's really really great.
I'm so glad that we went back to season one immediately after doing a season nine arc.
Yeah, I know.
I love when Pam is on the phone with Jim and she says, I miss him.
Thank you so much for sending that to us, Peter. I can't wait to dip into that more in the future. If you have trivia that you would like to share with us, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a message. We have a phone number, 503-694-9314. Actually, guys, I would love to do, can we do a voicemail episode for our next episode? I think we've got a lot of great voicemails.
Sure. I'm super busy at work, so I'm down with a voicemail episode.
You make a voicemail compelling argument.
All right, I'll Edwin's go first.
Using his negotiation tactics on me. So give us a call. Leave us a message. We're going to do a voicemail episode next week.
But we already have Facebook a ton of good ones, Instagram. Right?
We already have a ton of good ones. So you're going to have to come in with a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. You can become a Patreon, become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. You're going to get an episode every month that you've got a lot backlogged that you can listen to. You're going to get some episodes from the vault, one coming soon. So join us, support the show, and we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund with that money as well. So do that with us. So special thanks to all our Scott's Tots. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. This episode recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us, for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. It makes doing the show so much more fun just to interact with everyone. And and just know it means a lot to us.
We got some cool stuff in the works for the show. We're pretty excited about it, and
absolutely,
it's all because of you guys. So stay tuned. Yeah. I mean, this wouldn't work without everyone listening and interacting, and so we're excited for where it's going.
And Limo Lady, we're going carbon neutral.
Pippity poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir.
Da, 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 da.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.